Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It is all good on a feel-good Friday. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. And it's all good because of Jalen Brunson, magical shot. We've been talking about it all morning. If you want to talk about the game, Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns disappearing again, and what you think about the Celtics, lines are open, 888-808-1019. It's definitely a different feeling for me, knowing that they're going up against a team that they're heavy underdogs. But, I mean, you just came out of this series and this game with such a great feeling. So, I mean, Monday would have been game seven. Monday is going to be intense. It's going to be everything we wanted it to be right at the beginning of that game. If they're competing, we're going to get into it. And if they somehow win that first game, then everything changes. If they can win game one, then this entire fan base turns on a dime and says, we can do this. If they lose by 25, then, well, all right. Okay.
Normally, I would say that the other team would be so confident that they're going to beat you that maybe you can go in there and you can sneak in there and get game one. But it's New York, it's the Knicks, and this is a Celtic team that has dominated them.
Yep, that's true.
So in order to beat them, there ain't no sneaking in. There's no getting in there and stealing one. You got to go in there and you got to play your ass off from start to finish.
Yeah,
that's how good the team is that you're going to be playing against, and that's the kind of depth that they have that you don't. At least we haven't shown that.
Yeah, and it would have been nice if they could have wrapped this thing up in five and had two more extra days off. Instead, they don't. But still, they got all of today off, all of Saturday off, all of Sunday off. They're going to go and travel to Boston. So they'll have some rest. Jalen Brunson will be able to get a breather because this guy is just exuding so much just physical energy to put this team on his back that he's going to need every off day and get those ankles right too, which looked pretty good on that crossover last night.
It really did. Looked like he didn't have a problem with that. But I would imagine that anytime his ankle gets a little bit of a tweak or something, he feels like an electric current through that foot of his.
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest thing to deal with. But I will say that he still plays fearlessly. It's not like he's trying to protect it.
No, he can't play tentatively. I mean, the way he plays his game, if he's going to dominate, he's going to have no limitations.
Yeah, I mean, he is a fearless player. There's no question that most non-Jalen Brunson fans or non-Nick fans, you know, see him in a different light than we do, possibly. But the fact is, we haven't had a point guard like this in a long, long time. And the unquestioned leader of the team. You know, it's interesting. I was, I was talking to a number of, you know, athletes over the last couple of days through my game time stuff. And,
yeah,
and we were talking about just, you know, who the quarterbacks are, what they're all about. And I had Leroy Butler, the safety from the Green Bay Packers, is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what was it like playing with Reggie White? He goes, man, Reggie was unbelievable. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. He goes, Reggie was unbelievable. He was a great guy. And he was the unquestioned leader of the Packers. But he knew that in order for us to become a great team and a Super Bowl winning team, the quarterback had to be the face of the franchise. And he was saying that when, I know this is hard to believe because you may not think this, but when Brett took over in Green Bay, Leroy said he was kind of a quiet, he was a prankster for sure, but he wasn't really a leader. He wasn't a guy that would always speak up in meetings and things of that nature. And Reggie had to do all the rah-rah stuff, and he had to be the unquestioned leader on the team because he was such a powerful figure.
Yeah.
But Reggie White, according to Leroy Butler, Reggie White stood up in a meeting and goes, hey, guys, listen, man, I'll still be the captain on defense. I'll still be, you know, the spiritual leader of the, you know, the team or whatever. But the face of this franchise is our quarterback, Brett Favre. That's the leader right there. So Reggie kind of put that moniker on him, and then he had to be accepting of that and become the great player that he became. And I would say that that's how, this is why Jalen Brunson is like the leader of the team. You could see how everybody expects him to handle the ball late in the game, create opportunities for his teammates, but sometimes it gets a little bit iso ballish, and you know, there's a turnover here or a slip there or a non-call and a missed shot, and we all kind of get frustrated as fans. But for the team, that's what they expect him to do.
Yeah, I mean, in, for all those times you get frustrated, you get that incredible layup, him driving to the basket to get the tip in from Bridges and the magical three-pointer that ended the series. I mean, so it's he has to still do it all, which is, I mean, Towns wasn't on the floor, but at that point, Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't getting the ball in crunch time anyway with the way that he was playing. But he's still doing it all on a team that we didn't want him to do it all. We wanted him to be there and running the offense and not have to score 40 points every night for them to win, but that's still what he has to do.
Well, he got a great game from Mikal Bridges last night. He got a really good game from OG last night, and Josh Hart just does what he does, you know, and it's kind of consistent, and he made all his free throws, which is important for him. But, you know, yeah, I would say that Karl-Anthony Towns and the bench were invisible.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate. But I don't think that this series against the Celtics is going to be nearly the way that the series played out against the Pistons.
But does that help the Knicks or hurt the Knicks?
Well, I mean, defensively, I think it hurts them because this group can shoot. This group hits big shots themselves. And when they get rolling downhill, I mean, they're a bitch to stop. Mm. That's the problem. And the Knicks do not defend three-point shooting well, but I gave you the three-point statistics. I mean, they're pretty much even for both teams. It's really when you
hit the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs. It's really when you hit these shots, you know what I mean, that really counts. And when Bridges hits a big three-pointer the other night, you know, that's huge. And just like Jalen hit his three-pointer last night, they didn't have great three-point shooting nights, but yeah, it's when you hit those three-pointers that matter.
I mean, Mikal Bridges, this might sound nuts, but his misses look uglier than other guys' misses.
I feel like he's double clutches.
He's banging it off the rim, and like, yeah, it looks so bad.
But when he's on,
he's great. He was great last night.
I mean, it is swishing.
Yeah, it's
swishing.
Swishing and dishing. Dishing and swishing. And that's whatever. And we say goodbye to Clyde and Mike Breen doing a local broadcast. We'll see them next regular season.
Yeah.
And good game to end on, though.
It was a great game to end on and a great shot to end on. And now it just comes down to they have to get more from their bench. They just have to.
Well, it's up to Tibbs to want to play those guys.
I think he's got to play a couple of these guys.
And Precious being a big part of it, Campaign being another. I mean, but there's guys on that bench I don't need to see. I mean, Campaign, Deuce McBride, and Precious I'd like to see. I mean, I don't need to see a ton of Landry Shamet, to be quite frank. You know, but yes, I'd like to see a little bit of a deeper bench and some more energy off of that. But it's, you know, it's what Tibbs is not going to care. Like, whatever game plan he comes up with, he is not going to care what anybody thinks.
I would say Mitchell Robinson is the bench player.
Yeah.
That gives you the most.
Sure.
And yeah, that's what he should be.
Yeah.
Although Miles McBride he's going to need to have a much better shooting.
But he's a guy that needs to get into a rhythm with these games, you know, and it's tough for him. When he comes off the bench, you want him to be instant offense, and he's not consistent with that. So more minutes for him, though, means more minutes of Jalen Brunson on the bench generally. They don't play those two guys together all that much.
You just need Jalen Brunson for the last 8 minutes of the game. Somehow you got to keep that energy up for the last 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Put him on ice for three and a half quarters.
Like what happens when he's off the court, you see what happens. They fall apart. And, you know, that in game five, when they couldn't get he and Hart back into the game, you saw what happened.
Yeah,
I mean, it happens in a blink of an eye, too. But that's the money spot in the game where he has to be out there.
I mean, we're past that now, but what happened last night with Jalen Brunson makes it even more egregious to have him sitting there not being able to check in at the end of that game.
And while you're saving a timeout. And that goes back to the coach, and the coach is in a very weird spot. He's boxed into a corner, and he's trying to do the right thing. And sometimes It's like the manager who pulls a pitcher and then the reliever comes in and gives up a 3-run homer. And you're like, why did you pull the pitcher? Only threw 90 pitches.
Yeah. Right.
But if the reliever comes in and gets the strikeout and the inning's over, the manager's a genius.
It's all about the results.
That's
the process. Yes. And the results.
The process and the results.
Well, yeah. By the way, speaking of coaches, the Rangers officially have hired Mike Sullivan.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. We just said it was not a if, but a when.
I mean, it was the ultimate no-brainer.
Ultimate no-brainer.
Like, we sat here, I don't know, how many times have we sat here and talked about who is the next manager or the next coach of a football or hockey or basketball team? How many times have we done that?
I mean, I
feel like countless, 30 times since
countless.
I've been here.
Yeah, countless.
At least.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they put up the graphic, CBS Sports Network, about the coaches that have been in and out of here in the last number of years. And, I mean, the list, it's crazy. I mean, it's
like, we often give our opinions about which coach we think. Like, Aaron Glenn, we knew was going to get a interview by the Jets. We didn't know whether or not he was going to get it. You and I thought, you know, John Gruden would have been perfect for that job.
Yep.
But now they made a decision. They go with the Jets, go with Aaron Glenn. We'll see.
Yeah, who do you think the worst GM hire at everybody was? Was it Phil Jackson?
Oh, by far.
John Idzik?
No, Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson's the worst?
I thought that was stealing money.
Worst head coach hire? Was it Fizdale, Gase, Joe Judge,
Mickey
Callaway, Tricky Mickey? There's a lot of them in there.
The Fizdale one. Well, that's
God,
brutal.
That team sucked with him as the coach. God, so bad. I actually liked the hire.
You did?
At the time, I did.
Because we all thought he was going to attract LeBron.
And also, he had some good teams in Memphis. Like, they had some good teams.
Well, who was the coach? Who was the guy that Phil Jackson hired right off the court? The point
Kurt
guard.
Rambis or?
No.
Kurt Rambis?
No.
Where are the Knicks? Hornacek, Fizdale, Miller. Right before Hornacek.
I for whatever reason, I'm blanking when you said right off the court.
Come on, man.
You brought him up.
Oh, I mean, God. It's not that long ago either.
Let's see here. Oh, Bowles, Gase is in that conversation. Mickey Callaway's in that conversation.
Derek Fisher.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was pretty bad too.
Derek Fisher, right off the court, right as the head coach of the Knicks, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's right. D. Fish. Yeah, that was a rough one. 38 names on there, by the way. This is since 2017.
Since 2017, there are 38 names.
Yeah.
Jesus. So I've been here since 2007.
Add how many more
for
you? That's
38 names. How about since 2007?
Another decade?
Holy God.
And you're just sitting here talking about all of them.
I mean, yeah, let me see. So I've been through four of the Knicks since I've been here. I've been through Isaiah Thomas, Mike D'Antoni, Mike Woodson, Derek Fisher, Kurt Rambis.
Interim, yeah.
Jeff Hornacek, David Fizdale, Mike Miller, and Tom Thibodeau. Nine coaches for one franchise.
Yeah. And what about the Mets during that time have to have, I mean, pretty close. I mean, they got to at least have, you think about Willie Randolph, Jerry Manuel, Terry Collins, then all these other shows.
All right, I'm going to get you. Let's see.
I think you passed it.
I know I did.
There you go.
All right, here we go. So let's get.
You got Willie Randolph.
Yeah. All right. So Willie Randolph, Jerry Manuel. I'm gonna cut you. Terry Collins.
Yep.
Mickey Callaway.
Mm-hmm.
Luis Rojas. Buck Ball, and now Carlos Mendoza.
So that's seven.
Seven.
Yeah. Jets.
Oh man.
Jet was seven Jets coaches. Was Mangini here when you started or Rex?
Yes. No, Mangini was here.
Wow.
Because that's when we had the whole let's get Brett out at Hofstra.
Okay, so it's probably, you might be close to seven there too.
Seven. I asked Grok who did a pretty good job here. You looking for the Mets in particular?
So we got the Mets.
Okay.
Now we need the Jets.
All right, here we go. So Jets. I got Eric Mangini.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan.
Yep. Two.
Todd Bowles.
Three.
Adam Gase.
Four.
Robert Saleh.
Five.
Jeff Ulbrich, interim.
Yeah, six.
And Aaron.
Seven.
And the managers, you had Tannenbaum, Idzik, McCagnan, Joe Douglas.
And now Mooch. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Giants haven't been all that stable either.
No. So they have seven coaches during that time, though?
No.
Giants had six.
Oh, my God.
Coughlin, McAdoo, Spagnola, Shermer, Judge, Dable.
Hey, man, I've been with Brian Cashman and Joe Girardi and, of course, Aaron Boone.
Yep.
That's been the most stable franchise.
It has been, without a doubt. I mean, not even close. But the Knicks had the most coaches. They had nine in that time period. Nine.
And the Rangers have a bunch now.
They have nine from 2007, though?
No, but they have a bunch, though.
They're probably right around seven.
The best team was the Yankees. Only three managers, one GM.
They're like the Pittsburgh Steelers of the Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah. So Rangers coaches during that time, you think it gets close to the Knicks at nine?
I don't think so. But the, I want to say six, maybe?
Six. I mean, they change coaches in the NHL like they change.
Rangers said six.
Six, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we had... So, I actually had a piece of Tom Rennie. He was here.
Piece of Rennie.
John Tortorella. Alain Vigneault.
Your favorite.
David Quinn. Gerard Gallant. And Peter Laviolette. What, Alain Vigneault, my favorite?
Is that what you said? Group?
No, Tortorella.
Yeah, you hated Gallant, too. You called him Elmer Fudd.
Oh, I mean, he's that. A good coach, but again, it's a
got
whole,
Elmer Fudd as our head coach.
Like, to me, it's still a fit thing. That. It's a perception thing, and that's why I want Mike Sullivan.
Yeah,
he's going to look. He's going to give great press conferences. He'll deal with the media. He knows the organization. He knows the fan base. He's won cups. He's dealt with Hall of Famers. He's dealt with a passionate fan base. So yeah, he's ready. Let's roll.
During that time, we've had two hosts, two update anchors, two board ops, and one producer.
Yes.
Hmm.
Stability.
Yeah. More stable than the Mets, Knicks, Rangers, Jets, Giants.
That's what I'm always screaming about, stability.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So we were talking about that internet invitational before with Dave Portnoy.
I have the audio.
And Bob Does Sports. You have the audio of what?
The Portnoy's announcement.
Oh, okay. Well, so Robbie Berger, who runs Bob Does Sports, just sent out a few minutes ago, does anybody have a clip of WFAN talking about the internet invitational? That replaces my morning coffee right there. If so, fuels the fire.
Nice.
So he's guy.
Go for it, Robbie. Go for it. Hope you win the money.
Yeah, that would be great. He's gotten a hell of a lot better than
why
this
are the
time
three
last
of
year.
Us not playing him?
Playing them?
Yeah. They did it with the Lebatard and Stugatz.
We tried. You know what it was? We had Fat Perez on. And I was communicating with him about having a match with them. I come to find out he's not the guy really to communicate with on these things. You know, he's like the talent. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you need to go through somebody else.
That's kind of like Boomer.
Yeah, exactly. Like Boomer has people who are very, very responsible and good at helping him with his schedule. I went right to Nick Stubbe with this.
Well, I don't know how responsible
they are. And,
cut up
so,
boxes for
I mean, maybe down the road that would be absolutely tremendous. You got a special phone call here, Boomer. Why don't you introduce it?
So every year, Jen LaBiere calls in, and they have a day of giving. And we love Stony Point Elementary School. We love Jen, and she's called in this morning to give us an update. Jen, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Boomer. Hi, Boomer. She's going out. Carrie and Eddie. Happy Friday. Let's go.
The greatest thing ever. It really
we
is.
Love you guys.
That's great. Yes, thank you, guys.
That is awesome, Jen. How are you guys doing this year?
Good! We're awesome. How are you guys doing? Happy Friday. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you for doing this every single year, Jen. You guys do the right thing. You teach those kids the right thing about giving back every year, and we love having you on.
Thank you so much, Jen. Tom Bauer. Sports and Law Enforcement Day, tomorrow 10 to 1.
All right.
And we have over 15 different sports zones and karaoke, too.
All right. All right. It's going to be a great day tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be
awesome! All righty, Jeff. Well, good luck to you and the kids. And thanks again for calling in. And thanks for doing this every year, guys.
Music. one more thing to you guys. We stand up for
Awesome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, Jen.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate it, guys. Go okay. Mets and Yankees.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that was the best one ever.
I was going to say, she's had some good classes.
That's tremendous.
I got to hire Jen for my house. Wow. She's got all those kids singing in unison. I can't even get one of them to listen to me.
Yeah, they put out a great video yesterday.
Wow.
Make a Wish, and it was really awesome. So
that was great.
That is authentic. That is real. And,
yeah.
They do a good job with teaching those kids about how to give back.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, guys, on another phenomenal year of raising money there. And really, really cool.
All right, Jerry, what's happening?
We are brought to you by Roto-Rooter Plumbing and Water Cleanup. Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. So, the Knicks are what's up. I'll just give you the two big highlights. I'm not going to give you the turnover by the Pistons, but Mikal Bridges first.
Bounce it against Schroeder, goes, pulls up, puts it up, shot won't go. Bridges tips it in with a left hand. The game is tied. 35.6 remaining.
And so on a 25-point night for Bridges, a huge tip-in in the final minute to get this game even at 113. A game that the Knicks were trailing by 7 just literally 2 minutes prior. It was Jalen Brunson that missed the shot, but he wasn't missing much down the stretch, and then he would hit the biggest shot of the night.
Brunson puts up a 3.
Got great separation with the crossover, buries the triple, and the Knicks win. The Knicks win 116-113.
We outside, baby!
40 for Brunson, so that's reaction from Zoo, maybe. I'm going to ask you who you think this is on social media with the reaction.
Here we go! Drop it!
What if he means drop the mic?
Drop it in? Drop it!
Jeez.
Drop it!
Sounds like Joe B there at the end. Who do you think that is?
Is that Kevin Hart?
Good guess. No.
Tracy Morgan?
No. That is Stephon Marbury.
Wow.
I was watching it live. Yeah, he was into it. And you mentioned Tracy Morgan. Did you see the video of him pulling away from the garden
in this car?
$500,000 vehicle?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Was it a Maybach?
I don't know what the hell it was.
No,
but
it was nice. Damn it. I know what it is. But I have to look it up.
And the crowd was very respectful of him as they let him kind of drive off, which was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I think there's the other night.
Barf bags in that vehicle of his?
That I'm not sure of. Anyhow, here was Brunson on the go-ahead three-pointer. This was at the podium. I think Karl Anthony Towns was sitting next to him.
Just found a way to create some separation. Shot it a little earlier than I wanted to, but I mean, Asar is just a great defender, man. And just the fact that I got that much space, I had to shoot it right there. Happy to ball went in.
It went in, and the Knicks are advancing. Here is OG Anunoby as the team never panicked.
We're a resilient team, you know. We know basketball's a game of runs. We didn't expect them to just give up. We knew they were going to try, and they went on a little run, and then we went on a run of our own. So this is how basketball is.
And when you get a legend that compliments you like this, it's pretty cool. This was Shaq on TNT on Brunson.
Growing up being a fan, you watch the superstars do great things. And Brunson showed us what a superstar looks like tonight.
No question about it. And now can they go out and win the next series?
Now he has his hands full. But if he can play like this, 4 out of 7 or just 4 games where he can give me 35 to 40 points, they have a chance.
I just give me 4 or 5 of those games.
But that's what he's been doing, though. That's why it's not crazy.
Every one of these Shaq sound bites you play, I picture him laying in a hospital bed. Delivering.
He just
sounds so tired.
But that's always him, though.
No, I know, but it's just getting worse every year. It's just, God.
Yeah. You know, just going back to Brunson, though, we've been talking about it since he got here. The guy works hard. The mental stamina that it takes just to continue to keep pushing the way that he's doing it. And the fact that in game 5, he wasn't on the court when he needed to be on the court shows you how important it is for him to be on the court late in these games. Because he's got the ball in his hands and he's creating shots for himself and his teammates.
What do you think it is? Because we were talking about this on the warm-up show. I remember growing up, winning on the road in the playoffs was really difficult. One thing to win one. This series was wacky, though.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks played terrible at home.
Yeah, and the Pistons, still, while they got playoff wins, that streak of not having a playoff home win continues all the way back to 08, I believe.
I think I even think the Celtics, their record at home this year was just average.
Average compared to being dominant, you mean?
Dominating.
Yeah. I don't know what their home record is, but I'm sure you can check that. And the Knicks were 0-4 against the Celtics this season. Game one, conference semifinals Monday night. Clippers and Nuggets heading to a seventh and decisive game. Clippers beat Denver 111-105, led by Harden and Leonard. Game six, Golden State tonight with the Warriors and the Rockets. The Rockets down 3-2 in that series. And I know, I think you guys mentioned it. It is official. The Rangers hiring Mike Sullivan as their head coach.
So anyway, the Celtics at home were 28-13. The Knicks at home were 27-14 during the regular season.
Celtics on the road, if I'm reading that correctly, 33-8.
Yep, that's pretty good. That is pretty good.
Knicks had basically almost. Well, they were 24-17. Sorry, Jerry. Oh, away.
Mets lost to the Diamondbacks 4-2 tonight. They find themselves in St. Louis. Here's Carlos Mendoza. This was after yesterday, but this will hold true going forward. Got to score with risk, with runners in scoring position, which this series they did not do.
I wouldn't say concern, but, you know, we got to do a better job. You know, yesterday, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we could talk about that game, but at the end of the day, we didn't get the job done. I think we were 0-10. Today, we didn't create many chances.
They didn't, and when they did have opportunities, they couldn't push runs across, like Vientos and Nimmo striking out back-to-back with second and third, and only one out in the eighth inning, down a run.
Only the second time this year where the Mets have lost back-to-back games.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, they're 21-11. Here was Juan Soto. At least he and the loss did hit a couple of home runs.
It feels good always come through to have the team. It just feels good.
Clay Holmes, Sonny Gray tonight. Again, Mets and Cardinals on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio at 8:15 p.m. Both of his home runs very similar going to left center. His first two home runs at Citi Field as a Met as the calendar turned to May, as we know. Yankees were off, home for Tampa tonight. Max Fried will make the start there. Because you guys brought it up, I did grab a couple of the Portnoy announcements of the announcement of this internet invitational for at least $1 million. Here he is explaining how it will work and where.
Invite only at Big Cedar Lodge, the Ozarks, Missouri. One of the great golf resort destinations in the world. We will be there. You got to get the invite in the mail. Seven figures, cash, white knuckles.
White knuckles meaning, so what will it be like?
This isn't your mother's golf tournament. We're not going to be quiet in a thing doing like this. We want bad shots. We want you to feel the pressure.
So they're doing this in conjunction with Bob Does Sports. So who is playing?
30 to 50 to 60 of the most well-known golfers, celebrity athletes, internet people with big money, big stakes, in us in your ear chirping.
And August 12th to, was it August 12th to the 16th? Does that sound right? August
13th? Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. That was the announcement yesterday. And away we go with that. Big athletes.
I'll put my money on Cal Clutterbuck. How's that?
Oh, there you go. That sounds
good. I don't know if he'd get an invite, though. He's not like a content creator. He's not out there.
Yeah, but now he's out there. Now he doesn't have Lou breathing down his neck. He could be out there.
He retired.
And he's retired. He could let his personality flow.
Yeah, I would definitely. If I could buy stock. If I could buy stock on that.
Yes.
Like bet on him early.
Yes.
I would take it. Because that man is a bad man out there.
Yes, he is.
He is a bad man on the golf course.
That's why I was saying that. I would bet on him.
The Maple Leafs, Golden Knights, and Oilers all closed out their series last night. You do have one remaining from last night anyway. The Avalanche beat the Stars 7-4, so that series is going to a seventh and decisive game. All right, we get to moment of the day, and as you can imagine with the Knicks winning last night, a lot of NBA talk, but it did at one point get back to the failures of the Lakers and their head coach, J.J. Redick, and their team.
This is Boomer's favorite quote of the year.
I figured.
He was texting me this last night.
We aren't there just yet.
We have a ways to go as a roster. And certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape. There's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately is you know, we have to get in championship shape.
See, that's what I see when I see a fat Luka running around. Now you know why the Mavs traded him.
They were in the NBA Finals last year.
Yeah, but then he kind of lost his way maybe a little bit. I don't think he was as fat last year. You can say whatever you want about J.J. Redick. He ain't wrong.
He ain't wrong. He sees these guys up close and personal. He knows what's going on.
They also don't have a center.
Yeah, because they traded for a fat Luka.
I mean, you hate this guy.
He does.
You despise this man.
Yes, he does.
I'm just calling it like I see it, man.
You get hyper-focused.
I know why the Mavs let him go.
You got to hyper-focus on dudes.
It's the same reason why the Jets let Mekhi Becton go. Problems happen when you're fat.
There you go. Moment of the day.
Yeah, when Boomer gets you in the crosshairs, watch out. He will not let it go.
No.
No. There are certain things, man, he latches on.
Heard about the one where I hit the tree with a golf ball?
Oh,
and
yeah,
hit the face?
Yeah, absolutely.
Heard about the one where I wore a yellow shirt once?
Yep. Remember when I stopped us from playing softball? Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Luca being fat, beer-drinking Luca, I'd add that to the list.
Jerry Jones dying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anything else?
Juan Soto?
I wanted Juan Soto before we had to pay him $765
million. That is very true. Good point.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. Well, it's foggy out there still.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Hey, Stephen Waldron, CBS Sports. Stephen, you there? Oh, I just wanted to make sure you're still there. This is the time you usually leave. That's all. I just wanted to see if you were still there. Okay. You having a good day today, Stephen? All right.
Is that a live shot, the fog shot?
Yes, live.
Okay. That's a little disconcerting. Looks like L.A. Looks like smog.
It does.
But burn that crap off, don't we?
Hopefully, yes.
Stephen, you have a good day yesterday?
Oh, it was one of the best memories.
Okay, very good. We have a great weekend. All right, Stephen, you can leave now.
You too. Great.
Okay.
All right, see you later. Stephen Waldron, CBS Sports. Likes to leave early on Fridays. I'm surprised he's actually still there. Well, it's not summer Fridays yet for him. Summer Friday. He loves his summer Fridays.
True.
And by the way, we are going to announce the details of kickoff to summer on Monday, May 5th. Monday, May 5th, the big announcement, kickoff to summer. It'll be the Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
Always great, man. It'd be always great.
A big deal.
So, before we leave today, I just want to give a big thank you to everybody that supported our bike tour this week, the Fibro Bike Tour on Sunday morning. Chris Lopresti and Team NARPS here at WFAN raised over $26,000. And in the last 6 weeks, they went from $75 to over $26,000.
It's amazing.
It is amazing the power of this radio station. Even more amazing is the power of the Portly Villager out in Sable, raised over $21,000 for my personal team, and I can't say thank you enough for that. My team right now is, in essence, is over $60,000, and I think it's going to go even higher. So, again, I'm just in awe of everybody supporting our cause against cystic fibrosis, creating the IVF programs that we have, the scholarship programs that we have, the transplant programs that we have, all the things that we do within the cystic fibrosis community could not be done without the kindness of our listeners and the people who support me personally. And this has just been amazing watching this over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I love seeing, you know, last year we put you over the top to have the number one thing. This year we were able to do that and blow by everybody.
Oh, they're not catching me. Jerry Cahill is not going to catch me.
No, not after that last big donation. So, no. Yeah, they have it listed on there as Gio's Portly fundraiser. Came right in, slammed it on top. Feel proud about that, and the community stepping up for BEF. It's a really, really cool thing. So, you know, I'll be missing you guys out there. I really wanted to ride this year.
I'm sure you did.
I really wanted to get out there, but, you know, it just was one. It just had a conflict. It's just something that was on the calendar for a long time.
Well, so. I can't wait to see everybody out there. We got a great team. We do a little bit of a team pep rally tomorrow morning up at the Edge. So looking forward to doing that with all the people that do come into New York City for that. It's a great time. And then a big thank you to Dunkin' Donuts, who will be with us in the morning prior.
All right.
And they also have a team. The Bolson Restaurant Group has a team this year. A big shout out to my buddy Landshark, Pete Abitante. He's got his team.
We have, of course, the Dalers, which is Allie's team, who's over $10,000.
Yeah, she's very nervous about this. By the way, don't forget to thank Al for his fundraiser. You left Al out there.
I already told Al, thank
you. Yeah, but you didn't say it on the air. He was looking in here. He was looking at us. He was waiting
for
it.
But I made sure that Itsuko put you on the list, so your name is on the list of donations.
Oh, nice. Okay,
so
excellent.
You got the credit.
In bold print.
Right, and I'm still waiting for my Al's Boring Beer.
I'm going there this week, and I'll get you a pack.
Oh, you all? Okay, yeah. Please do. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Allie's very nervous about this. You could tell she's been in a bad mood the last couple of days. I don't know if you've noticed. She's nervous, really.
Well, I've noticed her, right?
Yeah, she's very nervous. She's mad at me for some reason.
So it's like attitude central.
But I'm getting it worse than you. I mean, she's like super mad at me for some reason. I don't know what it is.
I think she's mad at you because of maybe the whole box thing.
I didn't start that.
Yeah, but you amplified it.
Boomer, you came in and started the box thing.
Because I was mad at Al and Eddie because I was wondering why they didn't clean out the boxes.
She mad at me because I keep bringing up that day that she was late. Remember that day she was late? Oh, you weren't here the day she was late.
No, I was
not. She was late a day. She came in. She was not on time. And we started the show with no makeup because she was late. So she doesn't like when I talk about that day she was late. And that's probably why.
I mean, she's just got to realize she's a part of the show. And she's going to have to handle it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, very rarely does she ever get criticized for anything.
Exactly.
I mean, so now just a little bit of criticism, we get a little bit of sensitivity.
Yeah, break my nail, I'm crying.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, and that's easy. Like, you start crying in front of us, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, it's just like, Jesus.
I tried to tell her to man up, but she looked at me in cross-eyed. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Started crying again, yeah.
I didn't mean it that way, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, and then this morning, this was an actual interaction that happened. This is not an exaggeration at all, an actual interaction where... You had to give her money for something.
Yes.
And you were going to give her money. And she said, you already did that.
Yes.
You already gave me this. And I said, wow, that's a great employee right there. Pure honesty.
Testing her.
Right. Pure honesty. And she looks at me. She goes, well, that's the first compliment you've ever given me. And I was like, whoa, Jesus Christ.
Good little attitude.
What in the hell is going on here? I mean, for crying out loud.
And she's very nervous about this bike tour.
It's got to be what it is. So I told her, I mean, you know, it's probably going to rain. She's probably going to fall.
No, it's not going to rain. Stop.
That's what I said.
And Tom, don't tell her she's going to fall. See, this is what's going on. Oh, now I get it. Oh, God, you're such a...
Listen, I'm a man who rode in the rain, and I'm a man who fell.
Yeah, I know. And I got to tell you think Marash is going to make it?
Yeah, I do. I do. He's surprisingly athletic for his build.
And what about Boyle?
Boyle's gonna leave everybody in the dust.
I don't think he's been on a bike. He doesn't have a bike.
No, he's good. No,
he's been all over Richie to get him get your bike to him.
Yeah.
And I'm getting text messages say, "Oh, we got Hoffman's bike," and I'm like, "What bike?
Yeah,
what,
I know.
What, you got whose bike?
Yeah, Richie's got a lot on his plate though.
But it wasn't from Richie. It was from Plansker.
Oh, Plansker?
Yeah, Plansker. We got Hoffman's bike. I'm like, Hoffman, he's not riding. Big Tongue is not riding.
No. No,
I could see what's his name showing up on a BMX bike, just a mongoose.
Who's that? Brash?
No,
Boyle.
Boyle.
No, so we got the bike.
Yeah,
And Boyle's like, I've had more interaction about his bike.
Yeah.
Than anybody else. Like, what am I, like your personal valet?
Which is weird because I'm the one who had the bike, and then I told him I left it for Richie Monday. And then he got it, and he took care of it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, that bike had clips in it for pedals.
Yeah.
Because you had the shoes that would fit into the clips.
Right, I told him.
He doesn't have clips. He doesn't even know what clips are. Richie had to get the bike changed.
That's a conversation we had. I was like, you got to get the shoes that clip in. We'll give you the bike. You got to get the shoes.
Or change the pedals.
Right.
So Richie had to get the bike pedals changed.
Yeah, so it's, you know.
It's a whole.
Lead a horse to water situation, you know. Just one of those things. But he'll do great. I think everybody's going to do great, except for Allie. He's probably going to fall because it's going to rain.
Oh, stop.
But everybody else, I think, will do pretty well with the whole thing. I know Benji. See, here's what Benji's going to have to do. Benji's probably going to have, when Allie falls, he's going to have to stop.
Oh, God.
And that's going to be a tough problem.
You think he ends up riding the whole way with her?
Oh, of course.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
He's got no choice.
Yeah. You see the way she's talking to us in the morning. I can't believe I can't imagine the stuff she's giving him.
When I rode with Sydney, she stayed up with me.
That's great.
Like, she's going, let's go, Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. She was pushing me.
Let's go, old man. Pick up the pace.
She didn't say that.
Oh, I thought that's what she said.
She just gave me some stuff for my skin or something. You need this.
Oh, Fandy.
It's nothing like having, I'm telling you, when your daughter gets to that age,
yeah,
and she's into all that stuff, you're going to appreciate it.
All what stuff?
Like the facial creams, the red light stuff, the mask.
Okay.
You know, she's going to tell you, go get the needles in your jowls.
Needles in your jowls?
Yeah, or something.
Botox in your jowls?
No, it's not Botox. I forgot what it's called. I didn't do it. Okay. I'm afraid to do it.
Good. Yeah, don't
she said
do
it. It hurts.
In your jowls?
Yeah, like they poke needles in your face or something. That's I forget what it's called.
Acupuncture?
Like no, it's not acupuncture. It's a dermatological thing, you know? I don't know what the hell it is.
Right.
I'm going to sit in a chair and have somebody put needles in my face.
Yeah, no way. No way, no how.
Microneedling?
Yes, that's what it is.
Okay.
What does it look like?
These little needles that go right in your neck and your face.
Right, I'm not doing any microneedling.
We should do it live on the air. Things get slow over the summer.
Microneedling?
Microneedle your neck.
Sounds like it hurts.
I'll do it with you.
I need to tell you something before we go on our third date. I have a micro penis.
Not a micro needle. A micro penis.